You're listening to Henley Business Radio.
Welcome to Henley Business Radio. My name is Gareth Armstrong. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. And we have another very interesting conversation lined up here for you. Luis Obala. When you hear that name, Luis Obala, what do you think? Luisa, what do you think when you hear Luis Obala? What's in your brand? Talk to us.
You know what? I must tell you that the first time I had a LinkedIn account, and you know, like you need to put a description just right under your name of what it is that you do. And I thought, what am I going to put? Because obviously it's been what, like 37 or maybe at the time 35 years of having done a lot of things. Mm. And so then I ended up just writing everything music. Maybe that's just what it is, you know.
Everything music.
Everything music.
It's got a nice little ring to it as well.
Exactly. I should start an everything music P2I.
I think so. Okay, so everything music. Where did everything music then start for you?
I believe that, you know, music has led me to where I am right now. It's the driver and it inspires me to do what I do, whether in music or outside of music. So I was born into a musical family. Not even just from my mom and dad, but with a generation of musicians in my family. My grandfather used to be a composer. Many of his songs are still sung throughout the Eastern Cape, since they are in our language, which is the Sotosa. Mm. My great grandmother used to be like the resident opera singer in our community.
Oh wow! Okay.
And from my dad's side as well, you know, my mom and dad met in a choir. It all sort of started there for me. By the age of 3, I was already performing.
Okay.
I don't know what I used to sound like, but I was performing.
But you were performing.
And I remember I used to get paid, because as I sang at church, people used to throw like these 2-cent coins and these 5-cent coins, because I think 2 rands at the time were like notes.
Mm.
I'm giving away my age now.
Yeah, no, those old blue ones. Huh?
Those old blue ones, yeah. With Jan van Riebeek.
Exactly.
Okay. And you know, so it's always been, you know, it's the one thing that really... that became a tool for driving me out of my background wasn't rosy at all. And it's because of music that I ended up being able to go to great schools, and it's because of music that I found myself in Johannesburg and being so prominent in the industry as a whole.
And you certainly are. Let's just pull back to those early feelings around music. At any point, especially because you were so young, did you feel like you were being forced into it? Is it something you wanted to do, or did you wake up in the morning and your mom was there with a cup of coffee saying, get out of bed, you got to work, so to speak, inverted commas, it's a Sunday morning. Did you ever resent that?
You know, for us, music and talking were kind of like one thing.
Okay.
You know, so maybe if that was the case... then music, you know, like then singing was like, and singing in front of an audience was like giving a speech.
Mm.
I was actually quite surprised when I got to St. Stithians College here in Johannesburg, after having been to all these music schools and coming from a musical family. Mm. And mind you, my whole community used to sing.
Okay.
That's what we used to do.
Okay, so it's very natural.
Yeah, because you know what? I mean, as much as maybe there were some soccer plays and so on and so forth, anything else which became an extramural activity, it needed... like football would need a soccer ball, or like, you know, if you wanted to play cricket, you'll need cricket bats, and those things were unaffordable to us.
Okay.
So music was sort of like one instrument that didn't have to pay for, and so people used that pretty well.
Mm.
And surprisingly, when I got to St. Stithians, and we're having something called house music, you know, these private schools are like they divided into houses.
Yeah.
And I was getting frustrated with my house because the guys were just not singing the right thing.
Okay.
The headmaster pulled me aside, and he said, "Listen, Luis, you need to understand that most people can't sing." And I was surprised. I was absolutely surprised. As a matter of fact, I think while I was also at the school, this lady asked if I could sing at her son's, who's an old boy, at her son's wedding.
Oh, wow.
After I sang, she came to give me an envelope, and I just thought, what is this? What's in here? Only time I ever get an envelope is from the headmaster's office. And so when I opened it and sort of looked at it, I was surprised. I was like, I think there was like, what, like 150 rands in there?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what is this for, you know? Because for me, it never occurred at that age that you actually can get paid for singing.
Mm.
So to answer your question, it's not something that I was forced into. It's not something that I chose. It's something that I just thought that everyone does.
Good.
And that, like, it's just part of life. And that later on, I'd have to choose something that I'd have to go into. But that, I'll be probably singing through it all.
Okay, so let's go there then. Let's go exactly to that. You get to a point in your life where suddenly you're feeling this independence.
Yeah.
There's perhaps some money coming in from music that you're involved in, but then you begin to question, you begin to ask yourself, should I, shouldn't I? Maybe there's another way, that maybe there's another path. Mm-hmm. Talk us through just a little bit of that.
What a lot of people don't know is that when someone is in music, they don't necessarily have to sing or play an instrument. Mm. The music environment, because when you say music industry, you're talking about the recording industry.
Sure.
But the music environment has so many different components that one can go into. Like, for instance, you can be a teacher, you can be a performer, you can go into theater.
Sure.
You can go into classical, you can go into jazz.
Or you go into a studio environment where you're producing music for films, for TV, all
Absolutely.
Sorts of
you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it's all, suddenly it's all sort of culture, you know? And I got wind of that when I was in high school. So I remember the one time, right, I was like, you know what I want to do? Because I really loved my piano teacher at that time, which is like, people who play piano, they'd all be like, what, you liked your piano teacher? That's like liking your accountant teacher at school. Sure. It's like, it's a no-no, you know?
A foreign
That's
thing.
The person that you just don't like. And so I thought, man, yeah, so I want to just be like her, maybe, you know, play the piano and stuff like that. But somehow, when I looked at the lifestyle of the hardships that teachers have to go through, I mean, and I know it sounds like I'm cheapening the whole thing, but like I looked at like just what a struggle she used to have with the academic department and how like they were always sidelined, and I just thought, there's no ways that that all this that I've done and all this that has been invested in me is going to lead to this moment.
Yeah, so this really what was a suppression of sorts, right?
Yeah, suppression of sorts. I thought, no, man, there's no freedom in this part of the, you know, like of the music environment. Mm-hmm. So my brother at the time, he was part of a huge, well, popular group called TKZ. Mm. And I used to look at them and I used to think, I don't know if even if I want to go in this direction. So the best thing I'm going to do is that I'm going to take myself to varsity and I'm going to do my Bachelor of Music and kind of see what that leads to. Maybe I'll be a lecturer in university, but at least I'm sure it's better than being a teacher here.
Sure.
And during that time, because I used to write a lot of songs, and the songs that I used to write, mind you, were for me. It was my own reflection pieces. It was my own diary. So my brother said, listen, I've heard one of your songs. Why don't you just come and sing one of these songs as part of our CD, which we're going to call TKZ Family.
Okay.
Which is going to be TKZ and just a few other members. And when we performed with TKZ as TKZ Family, I remember, like, you know, singing the first part of my song. I was so scared because these were like hip hop artists, and here I was just like the singer, you know? And I thought this 55,000 strong crowd is going to boo me off and maybe throw bottles at me.
Sure.
And that'll be the end.
No more coins or notes. Bottles.
There were beer bottles. And remember back then, you could actually take beer bottles into the stadium, know? And funny enough, I remember singing right at the end of the song that I featured on called Fiasco, and I went stop, and everyone sang the rest of my part. This was something that I wrote, and something that I sang. And I think it was sort of right there and then that the bug really bit.
Mm.
And I just kind of never really looked back, you know? Mm. I think a year later, I just found the schooling just a little bit boring. And I just thought, you know what, it's taking up a lot of my time. I want to focus maybe on just building my career. So my first attempt to varsity, I was a dropout.
Well,
and became successful, you know what I mean?
And it's surprising how many people do drop out, are still successful, and then go back. And we're gonna visit that a little bit.
And that's what I want people to focus on, the fact that I dropped out of what I thought was my corner, because people would think that, like, I mean, because obviously right now, and we're going to get into this, you know, being at Henley Business School and doing my MBA and having just finished another program, of the fact that why is it that I am succeeding in this, but I didn't succeed in my music, which is my core.
It is your core. And this is a little bit, it almost seems foreign because it's a step away.
So true. But funny enough, I can't understand this more than, you know, more than what, you know, like more than what they were trying to teach me.
Yeah, no, in absolutely.
Music.
Well,
yeah.
Look, I think what's so important is that we must always remember that education must contextualize your experience.
Absolutely.
It must frame something that you're experiencing. It mustn't dictate it. And often what we do is, and this is what perhaps you experienced when you were in varsity, is that you were almost being dictated to about something that you truly love.
True.
And so when someone's telling you how to think about music, and in your heart you're feeling the music, there's a disconnect there. Or there can be a disconnect.
And I think whereas, like, you know, I'm doing this program right now based on my experiences. That's why I find it so exciting, because it speaks to you, not only just my professional life, But it also speaks to just my personal life. I mean, like, this now is personal development.
Yes, exactly.
Through, you know, like, through this program.
And I suppose that that's what a lot of people feel like an undergraduate degree is for, or should be for a 19, 20, 21-year-old, wherever they step in, but it really isn't often. And that was your experience.
How many people were at school with us, were in high school with us, who we thought, you know, these guys are absolutely going to flourish once they go to varsity, and they get there, and guys are just like, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
And parents are usually distraught because it's like, son, I've paid for 3 years.
Exactly.
And right at the end, you just want to quit.
Mm.
And the guy says, no, daddy, but I told you, I didn't want to do this course. I wanted to do this. And then someone will be like, yeah, but how you've done at school has set you up to do well in this. And then you're like, no, but that's not what I want to do.
Mm.
My whole life was based on the fact that music is what I'm going to do afterwards. And yes, and that's what I did for a good 20 years. But it's not necessarily what I was supposed to study at varsity.
I'm very comfortable personally, and I think you seem to be very comfortable with this evolution that happens in all of our lives and careers.
Mm.
And it seems like you are preparing yourself for this now evolution that is going to be happening in your career, whether you see it now or not. As soon as we pull more information in, that evolution begins to happen. Force of exposure, really. Let's go back very quickly.
Okay.
So some people would say you got lucky, or it was because of a family connection.
Yeah.
What do you say to those individuals who haven't seen the 3 a.m. wake up? Because you must have had a number of those kinds of days in your life. 3 a.m., go to bed at 11 o'clock, start that whole process again. That's happened for you?
There's a study that came out, and I can't, you know, I won't be able to reference it properly because I know that at Henry they say you must always reference.
Yeah, sure.
But this is like an interview, okay?
Yes.
So it says that, you know, like, it speaks about, I think, the 100, is it the 10,000 hours?
10,000 hours,
you know what
hours,
I mean? So
yes.
The fact that I think for you to be in the top 1% in what you do, you need to put in 10,000 hours.
Mm.
I did my 10,000 hours at school. So from the time that I was 10 years old, you know, like, I practice piano about two hours a day. That was 10 years old. I'm 37, going, you know, like, going on 38.
Yeah.
Sounds like that Coolio song. I'm 37, never will I live to see.
Well, you know, I'm glad you're here.
I'm 37, you know, going on 38. And from that time up until I was 20 years old to when I started in the industry, there were tens of thousands of hours that I put, you know, like, towards what it is that I do.
Mm. So it was Malcolm Gladwell, I think, in his book, where he references about the 10,000-hour rule. And then he also speaks about Bill Gates, for example, who maybe his path was very similar to yours. So he was at school, but every other moment where he wasn't academically involved, he was sitting programming somewhere. And that's where he gained his 10,000 hours.
Yeah, like during my science classes, I was writing songs.
I passed, and
I got a good mark.
Well, very, very, that's very impressive. It's probably why you're doing so well here then. What a lot of people don't understand about 10,000 hours is that if you do 2 hours a day, it's going to take you 10 years to get 10,000 hours. And so you've put in 10,000 hours and more.
Well, I mean, also remember that there were still extra music lessons in that.
Yeah.
There were still performances.
Yeah.
I think we used to do about 120 performances a year.
Wow.
This is like whilst I was still at school.
Mm.
So that really, I mean, like, that really sort of
set
sort
you
of
apart.
Shaped. Yeah, I mean, like, that really sort of shaped. And this is something that I didn't even think that it was worth anything.
Mm.
But somehow, like, practicing that muscle and so on and so forth,
it
set me in good stead for what it is that I do now. So I come into the industry, there's some articles that say, oh, you know, the younger brother of famous Zwipal is now joined the industry.
Mm.
And then I start hearing talks. There was a specific journalist as well who said, yeah, but you are where you are right now because of your brother. I said, true. He was definitely a door to where I am right now. But just give me 5 years. Do you know what I mean? If I'm still around in 5 years' time, then truly this hasn't been a fluke, you know?
Mm.
So I believe that for me to have been in the industry for as long as I have now, if we speak of, yes, it has been some luck, but in my sense, you know, like, it's been the grace of God on my life.
Mm.
You know, at the same time, it's because I've gained the experience that by the time that door opened, I was already ready to go into that. Just another point I also wanted to make.
Mm.
Within the music industry, I have been involved in different genres. And for every single genre, if I may say, I've received an award for it. Here's the reason
why. Very nice.
when I decided, okay, I'm going to do R&B, that was like back in early 2000s. Instead of just going straight into a genre because I liked it, because some people like want to go into music because they like singing,
okay,
and someone told them that they're talented. Mm-hmm. For me, it didn't stop there. When I only did my first album at 20 years old. I was signed to BMG, Sony BMG, when I was 16 years old.
Okay.
So for 16 years, I went through a rigorous process of development. I then traveled after my TKZ, you know, the TKZ album where I just did one or two songs.
Mm.
I took all my royalties. I went to the UK at the time, and I studied under Craig David's producers.
Okay.
Just to make sure that by the time I start doing this thing that I'm going to do successfully.
Yeah.
To date, I've received about 5 South African Music Awards for that specific genre. When we did Bala Brothers, which was classical, before we did the album, we actually had, because this was classical music, right? So we actually had a teacher come, I think the guy was from Italy.
Okay.
And he brought our skills back up again. And for 2 months, literally every single day, we had lessons with him. And it was brought down by a company called Pop Africa because they were helping out, you know, musicians who wanted to get to a certain level.
Mm.
But this is after all, you know, like all the schooling that I'd had at school. But
sure.
Because it had been like a few years before I'd done that. It was years back since I'd done classical. So we felt that it's needed that we do what we do.
What do they call it? Sharpening the saw.
You have to sharpen, you know, like you have to sharpen the sword. Just because you won the Olympics last year and then it was out of season, when you get back on it again, you need to practice like, it's your, you know, it's going to be your first time.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single time, because you're only as good as your last performance.
Exactly.
And you know, like, and through Bala Brothers, we were signed. Where she got signed to Warner Brothers in New York, and for a good part of last year, we were traveling that side. We did a PBS special,
okay,
and I believe that stuff doesn't happen by luck. It's because of the preparation time that we took.
Gary Player, he says, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
The harder I work, the luckier I get. Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, I think that's what you're describing here as well.
Which is what it is, you know. And then before I did gospel, which I did 5 years ago, I didn't just go, oh, I've had a change and, you know, like a change in heart and I just want to like do good, you know, and focus it towards a certain place. But not what I did. I stopped. I mean, like 2010, literally I had 5 songs on the top 100 songs in the country.
Mm.
One of my songs was actually the most played song in South Africa at the time.
Mm.
And I left everything and I went and I thought, okay, if I'm going to do this thing, which is gospel music, I need to learn the content. Like I need to get content and I need to get tools so I can be able to do it. And so I took myself to Bible school for a whole year, sitting there with 18-year-olds. And here I am, just like 32-year-old man, because I truly believe in preparation, which is the reason why I'm here now at the Henley Business School. I'm training myself for something that I'm foreseeing happening later on in my life, which is not that far away, which is like 2 to 3 years.
Well, I'm interested in that because that makes my ears tingle.
Okay.
but what I do want to just quickly ask before we go there is why did you do these things? So you described a journey where there are awards, where there are top songs on top charts, but then you consciously make a decision to leave it. Instead of riding that wave, you leave it. You jump onto another wave.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do that?
You know, some of the times you need to just let the wave go. As soon as that one is moving, you start something else. Just so that, like, when that one starts to drop, at least something else is always on the rise. Because for every single thing that I've done, I could just chill for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And that wave is not going to stop when I start chilling. Because you started something, you know, like you kind of started something up already. Mm. So I believe that, like, you know, one needs to start preparing when things are going well.
I like that, this idea of cyclical success, but always preparing for something.
You've always got to prepare. And yes, sometimes, and also, while you're preparing, there are times when you make mistakes, when you learn from those, when you move on. Because I'm telling you right now, when there's nothing happening in your, when finally nothing is happening in your life, and now you start to do something, your motives are going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like going shopping when you're hungry already. You're going to buy rubbish.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Because you're not thinking clearly.
Yeah.
So, and I guess everything comes down to one thing. The reason why I do this, if I can just quickly tell a story. I remember being in school at the Drakensberg and I was struggling and I was mad with everyone. You know what I mean? I felt like I've been so unfairly treated. And then the hostel master called me and he said, listen, you've got a choice. And we find either way, because obviously there's somebody else paying for your school fees.
Mm.
You can either just go through it, or we can just stop right now, and then you can just go back home.
Mm.
And when I thought of home, which is Uitenhage, And I just remembered my cousins, people that I've grown up with. Some of them are even more talented than I am. And I thought of the life that they lived back then. I was like, I'm not going back.
Mm.
So I think the whole point of me being on this wave, and you mentioned the word reciprocal, is because I don't want to go back to the stage that I was at. I don't want to go back a year. Mm. I don't want to relive 2012 again. And it may seem like I'm running away from something. Yes, I'm. What I'm probably running away from is going back to where I was, because I don't ever want to go back there again.
I think all of us, we run away from things, but we also run towards things.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what you're running towards. So you're doing an MBA here.
I'm doing an MBA here.
So, and that's no small thing. An MBA is not an easy degree to be able to do. Tell us, what are you foreseeing in the future? And you said 3 years. What are you seeing three years from here?
You know? So in the past, you know, like in the past 2 years, I was just busy reflecting and just thinking, ish, where am I right now and where is it that I want to go?
Mm.
I've just come to realize that my success, that the music industry, it's, you know, there's the 80-20 rule, and we use that in different ways, right?
Sure.
The music business, right, is 20% music and it's 80% business.
Business, yeah.
It's quite a well-known thing. And I've noticed that, like, I'm starting to get more and more involved in the business aspects of the music. For the past 15 years, I've been kind of bundu bashing my way through, and, you know, like, through some luck, I've been able to be where I am right now, where, like, you know, I'm at a sustainable place.
Mm.
People are also starting to trust me with huge responsibilities, like SAMRO, which is the Southern African Music Rights Organization that looks after all the music in South Africa in terms of composers and publishers. They put me on their board.
Mm.
Also, the certain ideas that I had within the music in order to sustain my career and then to also sustain other musicians' careers, you know, and anybody who's dependent on this industry. And so I thought, you know what, I need proper tools in order to advance better in this. And so I thought, okay, what do I need? Do I need more music studies? No, I don't. I remember how that went the last time, you know? But what I need is, you know, like some business acumen. And so, scared and frightened, I thought, okay, I'm going to apply for the PGDIP, which is the Postgraduate in Management Practice. Mm. And I spoke to a lot of people. They said, no, you should do this one. And so I did that. During that time, obviously, I'm coming to a class. I'm like, I don't come from like a formalized company structure, you know, I'm more of an entrepreneur.
Sure,
yes,
sure.
I've got access to several companies, record companies, and so on and so forth. How am I going to do in this? I did that, and I noticed that I was actually doing pretty well, and sometimes even better than some of the guys who were working in awesome companies. And so I thought, okay, cool. What is it that I have that they don't have? Apart from just the music, you know what I mean? What is that one thing? And I actually noticed that, actually, you know what? My strength in any space within business is creativity.
Mm.
The reason that I've been able to be so successful as I am right now in my industry is not because I'm a great singer, not because I'm a great songwriter, not because I'm a nice person. It's because I've been able to be creative with what had been given to me. Like, for instance, we've been able to get revenue in areas where nobody's actually seen possible with,
sure,
you know, like within the industry.
Mm.
And so I thought, you know what, I should really just hone the skill.
Mm.
And what's the best way to do that after this is to probably just go straight into the MBA.
Yeah.
I qualify for it already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I may as well just give it.
Stay on the train and keep on going.
Yeah, I may as well just give it a go. And so, speaking of the next 3 years, I believe that I'm going to add value not only to the, you know, like to the music industry as a whole with what I'm going to be learning from this, but actually probably to just business as a whole. There are a lot of social projects that, you know, like that I'm involved in. And I really truly believe that if everybody kind of knew what to do, they would actually probably save themselves 10 years of experience.
Absolutely.
You know, I truly believe that what I'm doing right now is not only going to just serve the music industry, but that it's going to serve South Africa and Africa and who knows, and like even maybe the world as a whole, you know.
I'm going to paraphrase you by saying, am I sitting across from a Kanye West type? Because that's where these guys have differentiated themselves from just the average artist, isn't it? They've moved into a business environment, mm-hmm, and they really have taken hold of it.
Think more Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
Okay, you know?
Jay-Z, fine.
So Jay-Z and really just what he has done with companies like Tidal, which looks at bringing sustainability to performers and doing something that the streaming era and, you know, and the download era, you know, the digital era is servicing the owners of those platforms more than it is the actual artists. That's what I really want to change. I want to make sure that I create a sustainable business for musicians over Africa and all over the world who'll probably come onto this.
Are you saying that you took a step back and you said, who could I be like? And you did say Jay-Z.
Well,
and that's part of the motivation for NBA?
What I said was, this is what I want to do. Are there any prototypes out there, or people that I can sort of model on? And that's what I, you know, like, that's the person that I came across. Now, this is, you know, I'm a gospel singer. He's a hip-hop artist.
Sure.
So it just goes to show that, like, it's not even about the style of music, but it's about the impact that you all want to make. And I'm very passionate about Africa and in creating entrepreneurs out of creatives. You know, so Puleng, who heads up, you know, heads up the creative department here at Henley, you know, she came across a study that said that by 2020, creatives are probably going to be the top three demanded
skill sets.
You know, skill sets in business.
Very
so
interesting.
When we can service our industry and we can service other industries, we're all good, man. I think I've done my bit.
So. You're looking very satisfied with yourself across the table. Yeah, but you're so right. The world is moving in such an interesting way that we can't predict what's going to happen in 3 years.
No.
But if we can set ourselves up for three
Absolutely.
Years' time, then we're in a real good place.
But you know what I've noticed, right? It's the fact that people know a lot these days. Arguments last a shorter time. It was like, oh, really? Let me Google that.
Know
what I mean?
Yeah.
So in terms of research, you're going to find that, like, many companies in the future are going to kind of know the same thing.
Yeah.
So what you know is not going to necessarily, you know, make you more successful.
Yeah, it's not going to set you apart anymore.
It's not set you apart anymore because we're all going to know the same things because information is so easily accessible, right? Now, here's the thing. If what you know and what I know is the same, what's going to set me apart from you? Or what's going to set you apart from me?
That is
it's going to
question.
Be how you arrange what you know. And that's going to need creativity. So literally creators are going to walk in and say, okay, cool, listen, this is what you have. Now you need to arrange it like this in order to be a step above the rest. Mm.
It's that contextualization of experience again. It's the real purpose of education.
Because all of us have the same colors, but how someone else arranges them, it makes it more beautiful than somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There definitely are people that draw better than I do.
And yet we have the same material to work with.
Exactly. I think that's a fantastic point at which we can end this conversation. Luis Abala, thank you for sharing with us. Good luck with your MBA. We look forward to having more of these conversations in future and certainly catching up with you and seeing how the MBA is going. Thank you so very much.
Absolutely. And if you want to help me through this journey, please get in touch. I'm on Facebook, Loyiso Bala.
Excellent.
Or just Loyiso. I'm also on Twitter as well, Loyiso Music, and on Instagram, Loyiso Bala. So if you want to get hold of me in any way, I can take any help right now or discuss anything that you want to discuss. So thank you so much.
Fantastic, Loyiso. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Do you want to be part of the conversation? Follow, comment, and message Henley Business School and Henley Business Radio on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.